The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." In hearing St. Mark introduce Jesus' ministry here, you may get a sense of deja vu. It wasn't long ago, during Advent, that we heard the baptizer had appeared in the wilderness of Judea proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, Jesus in Galilee proclaims the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent. This has been the call of the prophets for as long as their words have been recorded. But what does it mean? If you ask someone on the street or look in a dictionary, you're likely to get the answer that repent means to feel or express sincere regret or remorse about your wrongdoing or sin, to be very sorry for something bad you've done. This definition seems to focus on feelings. Neither of the primary words for repentance in Scripture, however, have this focus. In the Old Testament, the most common word for repent means to turn away from evil and to turn toward God. One of the most memorable examples of this comes from Ezekiel's prophecy, where the Lord declares, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." Turn back. Turn back from your evil ways. For why do you want to die, O house of Israel? In the New Testament, the most common word for repent has the sense of changing one's mind, of thinking differently. A number of decades ago, in the place where most Bibles use the word repent, a new Bible translation used the phrase, "change the way you think and act." Now, while using seven words in place of one has its drawbacks, the phrase has the benefit of helping to capture the meaning of the Greek word, "change the way you think and act." The fact that God's Son followed his prophets in proclaiming the message, "Repent," ought to tell us something. When God says to you, "Turn around," that means you're headed in the wrong direction. When God says to you, "Change your mind," that means that your thinking is wrong. The kingdom of God, God's ruling as king in the hearts and minds of people. The kingdom of God comes as people are turned from self-chosen ways of living to his way, and as he brings their thinking in line with his own. Jesus' call to repent is a call to change the way you think and act, to turn away from disrespect for authorities, from anger and lust, and taking what isn't yours, from saying untrue or hurtful things, and from being dissatisfied what God has entrusted to you, and unhappy because you want more or different things. All of these, God says, are wrong and will cause you sorrow and suffering. His way is for you to honor those to whom he has given authority, to help and befriend your neighbor in every bodily need, to love your husband or wife, and keep your thoughts pure, to preserve and protect your neighbor's property, to defend and speak well of others, and to be content with what you have, relying on the fact that God will never leave you or forsake you. In the reading we heard from Jonah, the Lord was calling the great city of Nineveh to repent through the prophet's proclamation, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." This powerful preaching had the blessed result the Lord desired. The people of Nineveh, we read, believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. That is, they believed God and so changed the way they had been thinking, turned to him. They called out mightily to God, we hear, that he would relent and turn from his fierce anger so that they might not perish. And lo and behold, in response to their turning, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them. And he did not do it. Reluctant, Jonah hadn't wanted to go to Nineveh, as you know, because he knew that the Lord is a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. And it made him angry. He had wanted to see wicked Nineveh destroyed because of their evil. What a joy and comfort it is to know, though, that the Lord responds to people repenting, believing his threat of punishment and turning away from evil. He responds by forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Now, of course, the Lord had ample reason to punish the people of Nineveh. They had earned their destruction. But he didn't want to destroy them. So rather than sulfur and brimstone, the Lord sent Jonah to warn them in the most severe terms that their destruction was at hand. And when the people responded as the Lord had hoped, when they believed and repented, there was much joy in heaven. Indeed, joy before the angels of God. No wonder then that Jesus called the people of Galilee and calls you and me to repent. For no matter how badly you failed, when you turn to him, God gladly forgives you for Jesus' sake. He forgets your guilt and restores you as one of his beloved children. because of his mercy and grace. He gives you a clean slate, and you're able to start all over again. And should you fail again, he calls you to repent, ready and eager to forgive and again give you a fresh start. God's desire is never to punish, but rather to bring about repentance and faith so that he can extend to you his abundant forgiveness and embrace you in his gracious love. This is the wonderful and blessed truth that is perhaps especially poignant, given that tomorrow is the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision that legalized abortion. Over the past 50 years, in excess of 63 million abortions have been performed in the United States. More than 63 million human lives ended prematurely. In many cases, that might have seemed the best option at the time, that later resulted in unexpected guilt and inconsolable grief. But because of his son Jesus, God responds to repentance with forgiveness and love. The wickedness of Nineveh, the rebellion of Jonah, the adultery and murder of which King David was guilty. Full payment has been made for these and a whole world of other sins. In Christ, the burden of sin and guilt has been lifted. No sin is so serious, no guilt so great that it overwhelms the measure of God's love and compassion. There may be little that can measure up to the capacity of a human being to sin. But there is at least one thing: God's capacity to love and forgive those who turn to him in repentance and faith. That's the reason Jesus was born and lived his perfect life and died an innocent death, and then rose again victoriously. In his innocent suffering and death, he paid the price for the sin of Adam and of David and of the people of Nineveh and of you and of me. As a result, there is now no condemnation left for those who trust in him, who rely on his blood and righteousness to cover all their sin. This is why God sent his Son into the world, so that the world might be saved through him, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. The gospel of Jesus Christ crucified is the power of God for salvation for you and for everyone who believes. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. What Jesus says is true. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. When you repent and believe in the gospel, as God works through his word to turn you to himself, to change your thinking, and lead you to trust his promises, you receive what those promises offer and give: forgiveness, life, and salvation are God's gift to you for Jesus' sake. Thank God. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.